Blog Talk Radio.
Together with the angels and the saints, we bow before your throne to declare holy, holy, kadosh, kadosh. There is none like you, O Lord.
holy, holy. Hallelujah. Glory be to the Lord. Oh, we worship him. We give him praise. We honor his name. We know that's exactly what the angels are saying in heaven. Holy, holy, holy. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. I could listen to that song all night. Hallelujah, hallelujah, holy, holy and holy. Jesus Christ, he is holy. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory be to the Lord God Almighty, the one that was, the one that died and resurrected on the third day according to the scriptures. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. This is Pastor Carlos A. Ramos Jr., and your host is The Way, the Truth, and the Life Tabernacle here on Blog Talk Radio. Today we're having our Bible Mystery Program. Glory be to the Lord. You could contact us at Blog Talk Radio at 516-418-5944. Press number 1 to be connected to the studio. Glory be to the Lord. We would encourage you to invite your family, friends, and neighbors to join us here on Blog Talk Radio for another Bible Mystery Program from The Way, the Truth, and the Life Tabernacle Church. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. Let me give you a little disclaimer. That is, the songs that we play on this program, they do not belong to Pastor Ramos. They do not belong to The Way, the Truth, and the Life Tabernacle Church. They do not belong to Blog Talk Radio. They belong to the individual artists singing the songs. And because we bought the original CDs and DVDs, in it we have permission to use the songs. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you, God, for making a way, for opening the door. Glory be to the Lord. Today's mystery, if you come up with the correct answer, to mail you out a beautiful, colorful accordion-type pamphlet of the tabernacle. It talks about the furnishings, the pattern of worship, the Ark of the Covenant, symbolisms that point to Jesus, the sacrifice in the tabernacle, the garments of the high priest. Hallelujah. This would, it's a beautiful, colorful pamphlet. It talks to you about everything that was in the tabernacle, or also known as the Tent of Meetings. This was a portable establishment where the Israelites will, wherever the cloud would stop, glory be to the Lord, wherever their Lord would stop, they would put the tabernacle together. Their companies, their families will embark in building their tents around the tabernacle, and there was an order that had to be done. Everything was done in an orderly fashion. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So that's what the church will mail you out. A beautiful pamphlet of the tabernacle. It's good you keep it with your Bible. Wherever you go to an appointment and you're waiting and you want to take it out and look it up and study it and look in your gospel, look in your Bible, the references that they have. It's nothing but the Bible references here. There's no outside influence. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Today's Bible mystery, why couldn't a sorcerer curse Israel? That's the name of our title for today. And we need an answer to be able to get this pamphlet to you. Glory be to the Lord. Why couldn't a sorcerer curse Israel? If you have the answer, then you could call 516-418-5944. Press number 1 to speak with the studio, with the host. Glory be to the Lord. And we would listen to what your answer is. And if it's correct, we will take the information now to mail you out the beautiful pamphlet. If not, we'll continue. Glory be to the Lord. Or if you want to call in and speak about anything, you have a testimony, you want to be able to give your story, you could do that. You could call and we'll stop what we're doing and listen to everything. glory. That's why we say we encourage you to invite your family, friends, and neighbors to join us here on Blog Talk Radio. International radio is done by the computer, through the computer, and I believe it goes worldwide. I see the statistics. It talks about different countries having people look up the archives. Glory be to the Lord. Why couldn't a sorcerer curse Israel? The answer is very simple, but I'm not going to give you the answer. I'm going to share with you certain things that we need to have. Right now, you know, you're a brand new Christian. The Holy Spirit is tugging at your spirit, and he's telling you to do a certain work, an assignment that the Lord has for you. And you have to be obedient to the Spirit of God, because remember one thing, our body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. You know, we say Holy Spirit, but the Holy Spirit is God himself. He just manifested as the Holy Spirit, and he's to uplift up the Lord Jesus Christ, because Christ is the only one who gave himself as a sacrifice on the cross. He died, he was buried, and resurrected on the third day according to the scriptures. Glory be to the Lord. When Jesus Christ ascended to heaven, the disciples, the apostles, were looking up at him, and two men in white apron, which we know that they are the angels, they said unto them, "You men of Galilee, why are you staring up into the heavens?" This same Jesus, they said, this same Jesus, hallelujah, this same Jesus will come back in likewise manner. Glory. And we know when we read Matthew 24, when we read First Thessalonians, when we read the other scriptures, we read that he's coming in the clouds. He was taken up in the clouds. Glory be to the Lord. And he went up to the heavens. He's sitting at the right hand of the Father, interceding for you and I every day. He's praying for us, brothers and sisters. He knows that we are fallible men and women, and we make mistakes and we falter. But he's on our side. He's interceding for us every day. When we pray, the Holy Spirit intercedes for us. He takes our words, and our words, he takes them and changes them to the words that we should be praying, because we don't know what we ought to be praying for. I could pray for you. You give me your name, I'll pray for you and your circumstances, but we're talking about things spiritual, things that we don't see. You know, God knows what we ought to be praying for. Hallelujah. Like right now, someone in the White House might need prayer, and because we pray, we be obedient, their decision-making affects the whole United States. Thank the Lord for that. So we have to be obedient to what God has for us. We have to be obedient. We cannot say we're a child of God and become disobedient and not listen to what the Holy Spirit is telling us. Now, you might hear an audible voice. You might not hear an audible voice. You might hear a voice in your spirit. Something will happen. Something, the Holy Spirit will tug at you, and he'll let you know. And you would know without a shadow of a doubt, this is God speaking. This is God's doing. And, you know, we have to be very sensitive. That's why we must pray and watch, like Paul said. Pray and watch. Glory be to the Lord. Jesus said, let no man deceive you. So we have to do these things, that we have to keep ourselves, you know, in the scriptures. Like when you jump into a 16 pool water pool, you are surrounded by water. Well, you need to be surrounded by the Word of God. You need to jump into the Word of God and let it saturate you, you know. Not only that you let the word come into your heart, but that you become part of that word. You are being saturated by the word. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus said he's the Word, and the Word is Spirit, and the Word is life. And he prayed to the Father that we will be like him. Glory. So we need to be holy and righteous like he is. In Corinthians, we read how people read us every day, and people sees our life every day. It's not so much what we say, it's what we do. People look at us, they realize, oh, this person is for real, this person is a liar, you know, and so you have to be very careful. And so when Jesus went to heaven, he sent back the Holy Spirit to indwell the believers. And the Word of God says that the believers were indwelled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And amongst the believers, Christ gave gifts, and he called certain people. And this is what I want to lead with in order to get into our lesson for today. And that is that Christ, he gave some gifts to the church. In Ephesians chapter 4, beginning at verse 11, he says, and he gave some apostles. So what is that telling you? Not everybody is an apostle who says they're an apostle. The way you know when a person is operating in the office that the Lord has called them to is the anointing upon that person. That person speaks with authority. There's signs and wonders that follow that person. And the Holy Spirit testifies and witnesses that, yes, this person has been called as an apostle. He gave some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, teachers. Now, here's the purpose of why he gave those gifts: for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Those three elements there, if we take it by heart and ask every individual who's in the office of an apostle or prophet or evangelist, pastor, teacher, are they doing what the scripture says? You know, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Are people doing that? You know, sometimes people say the wrong thing or they act the wrong way. They run people away from the church. But the Holy Spirit brings them to the church. So we kick gloves. We got to feed them with the milk and then feed them with the meat so they could grow spiritually. Glory be to the Lord. So we know that in the second covenant, Christ gave us some gifts to operate the church with. In Hebrews chapter 1, and I'll read that to you. Hebrews chapter 1, beginning at verse 1. The Word of God says this. Chapter 1, verse 1 and 2. It says, God, who at sundry times, different times, and in diverse manners, different manners, spoke in time past unto the fathers by the prophets. So we know that God sent the prophets to speak to our forefathers. Had in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. So brothers and sisters, when a person is called to the office of an apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, or teacher, and they're engaged in their profession, and they're doing what God told them to do, and they speak in, it is not them who's speaking, but the Holy Ghost speaking through in them. They are just vessels. We are called to be vessels of the Lord. We have opinions, but we keep that to ourselves. We speak the word of God as the Spirit of God ushers us in. We don't add to the word. We don't take away from the word. We just pronounce the word the way God gives it to us, because eternity is at stake. By a different word, a person could choose their own ways and not the ways of God. But if you give them the word of the Lord, the word of the Lord is planted, is watered, and God gives the increase. He will bring them through. The Bible says, unless the Holy Spirit draws them, no one could be saved. So we need, you know, the word of God, which is spirit, which is alive, is going to be planted in them, and they're going to revive. They're going to be reviving because the word of God in Ephesians 2 says we're dead in our sins. So through the word, the Lord revive us, and then we go forward, and it's spirit that saves us. He brings us through for our salvation. We understand that through we are saved by grace through faith. It is not of ourselves, it's a gift of God. And we know when we receive that, we ask God, we repent of our sins, we pronounce our sins to God, ask God to forgive us, and he forgives us. And what he does, he causes us to be transferred from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of his son, the kingdom of the light. We become sons and daughters of God Almighty, and he seals us with the Holy Spirit unto the day of redemption. Glory be to the Lord. So we see this is a very serious business. This is not playing around. Eternity is at stake. Whether you end up in hell or heaven, it's your relationship with God. Your relationship with God. It's not religion. It's a relationship with God. So in this question today, why couldn't a sorcerer curse Israel? Well, let's look at that story, and we're going to see what the story tells us and how we apply it to ourselves and how we're going to go forward. First of all, let me give you some quick notes before we go into the story, and that is we're going to be talking about Balak and Balaam and Israel and Moab. We're going to be talking about Moab as a nation. Israel is a nation. We're going to talk about Balak, who was a king of the Moabites, and Balaam was a prophet, but he was a non-Israeli prophet. So let's go forward. Balak, son of Zippor, Zippor, and that word indicates or it means bird. Balak was a king of the Moabites. He was afraid of the Israelites because when they came out of Egypt, remember, they had God on their side. God went before them in the pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night, and their enemies were destroyed. The Amalekites were destroyed. So here the Moabites were afraid. And he tried to get the Balaam to curse Israel, but something occurred. Balaam could not curse Israel. So let's look at Balaam. Balaam is the son of Beor. What the Beor means are burning. Zippor and Beor, those are the fathers of these men. So Balaam was the son of Beor. Beor was a father, and that word means a burning. He was a diviner in the Torah. What does that mean? Well, he looked at the Torah. He studied the Torah, and he would be a sorcerer. He would try to speak of what would occur in the future. And God told us not to be engaged with people like that. He was a non-Israelite prophet. And so here Balak trusted Balaam, the prophet. And let's see what occurred And we're going to read Numbers chapter 22, verse 1 through chapter 23, verse 12. And let's see the different instances that occurred during this time. In the meantime, you can call us at Blog Talk Radio at 516-418-5944 if you have the answer to the question, why couldn't the sorcerer curse Israel? We're going to talk about Balaam, who was a sorcerer, and he was commissioned by Balak, the king of the Moabites, to curse Israel, but something happened. The sorcerer couldn't curse Israel. We're going to read those verses and see what comes of it. And we're going to start with chapter 22, verse 1. And the word of God says, and the children of Israel set forward and pitched in the plains of Moab on this side of Jordan by Jericho. And Balak, the son of Zippor, saw all that Israel had done to the Amorites. And Moab was so sore afraid of the people, because they were many. And Moab was distressed because of the children of Israel. And Moab said unto the children of Midian, now shall this company lick up all that are round about us, as the ox lick up the grass of the field. And Balak the son of Zippor was king of the Moabites at that time. He sent messengers therefore unto Balaam, the son of Beor, to Petor, which is by the river of the land of the children of his people, to call him, saying, behold, there is a people come out from Egypt. Behold, they cover the face of the earth, and they vie over against me. Come now, therefore, I pray thee, curse me, this people, for they are too mighty for me. Peradventure I shall prevail, that we may smite them, and that I may drive them out of the land. For I wot that he whom thou blessest is blessed, and he whom thou cursest is cursed. And the children of Moab and the elders of the Midian departed with the rewards of the divination in their hand, came unto Balaam, and spake unto him the words of Balak. And he said unto them, lodge here this night. I will bring you word again, as the Lord shall speak unto me. And the princes of the Moab abode with Balaam. And God came unto Balaam and said, what men are these with thee? And Balaam said unto God, Balak, the son of Zippor, king of the Moabites, has sent unto me, saying, behold, there is a people come out of Egypt, which covereth the face of the earth. Come now, curse me them. Peradventure I shall be able to overcome them and drive them out. And God said unto Balaam, thou shalt not go with them. Thou shalt not curse the people, for they are blessed. Hallelujah. Thou shalt not curse the people, for they are blessed. And Balaam rose up in the morning and said unto the prince of Balak, get you into your land, for the Lord refuses to give me leave to go with you. And the prince of Moab rose up, and they went unto Balak and said, Balaam refuses to come with us. And Balak sent yet again princes more and more honorable than they. And they came to Balaam and said to him, thus said Balak, the son of Zippor, let nothing, I pray thee, hinder thee from coming unto me. For I will promote thee unto very great honor, and I will do whatever thou sayest unto me. Come therefore, I pray thee, curse me this people. And Balaam answered and said unto the servants of Balak, if Balaam will give me this house full of silver and gold, I cannot go beyond the word of the Lord my God to do less or more. I cannot go beyond the word of the Lord my God to do less or more. Now therefore I pray you, tarry ye also here this night, that I may know what the Lord will say unto me more, And God came unto Balaam at night and said unto him, If the men come to call thee, rise up and go with them. But yet the word which I shall say unto thee, thou shalt do. And Balaam rose up in the morning and saddled his ass and went with his princes of Moab. He saddled his donkey. And God's anger was kindled because he went. And the angel of the Lord stood in the way for an adversary against him. Now he was riding upon his donkey, and two servants were with him. And the donkey saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way, and his sword drawn in his hand. And the donkey turned aside out of the way and went into the field, and Balaam smote the donkey to turn her into the way. But the angel of the Lord stood in the path of the vineyard, a way, a wall beyond on this side and a wall on that side. And when the donkey saw the angel of the Lord, she trusted herself unto the wall and crushed Balaam's foot against the wall, and he smote her again. And the angel of the Lord went further and stood in the narrow place where was so no way to turn either to the right hand or to the left. And when he saw, and when the donkey saw the angel of the Lord, she fell down under Balaam, and Balaam's anger was kindled, and he smote the donkey with the staff. And the Lord opened the mouth of the donkey, and she said unto Balaam, What have I done unto thee, that thou hast smitten me these three times? And Balaam said unto the donkey, Because thou hast mocked me, I would there were a sword in my hand, for now would I kill thee. And the donkey said unto Balaam, Am I not thy donkey, upon which thou hast ridden ever since I was thine unto this day? Was I ever wanting to do so unto thee? And he said, Nay. Then the Lord opened the eyes of Balaam, and he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way, and his sword drawn in his hand. And he bowed down his head and fell flat on his face. And the angel of the Lord said unto him, Wherefore hast thou smitten thy donkey these three times? Behold, I went out to withstand thee, because thy way is perverse before me. And the donkey saw me and turned from me these three times, unless she had turned from me. Surely now also I have slain thee and saved her alive. And Balaam said unto the angel of the Lord, I have sinned, for I knew not that thou stoodest in the way against me. Now therefore, if it displease thee, I will go get me back again. And the angel of the Lord said unto Balaam, Go with the men, but only the word that I shall speak unto thee, that thou shalt speak. So Balaam went with the princes of Balak. And when Balak heard that Balaam was come, he went out to meet him unto a city of Moab, which is in the border of Arnon, which is the uttermost coast. And Balak said unto Balaam, Did I not earnestly send thee unto thee to call thee? Wherefore camest thou not unto me? Am I not able indeed to promote thee to honor? And Balaam said unto Balak, Lo, I am come unto thee. Have I now any power to at all to say anything? The word that God put in my mouth, that shall I speak. And Balaam went with Balak, and they came unto Kirjathaim. And Balak offered oxen and sheep, and sent to Balaam and to the princes that were with him. And it came to pass on the morrow that Balak took Balaam and brought him up into the high place of Baal, that thence he might see the uttermost part of the people. And Balaam said unto Balak, Build me here seven altars and prepare me here, 7 oxen and 7 rams. And Balak did as Balaam had spoken. And Balak and Balaam offered on every altar a bullock and a ram. And Balaam said unto Balak, stand by thy burnt offering, and I will peradventure, praise the Lord, I will peradventure the Lord will come to meet me, and whatsoever he show me, I will tell thee. And he went to an high place, and God met Balaam. And he said unto him, I have prepared 7 altars, and have offered upon every altar a bullock and a ram. And the Lord put a word in Balaam's mouth, and said, return unto Balak, and thus thou shalt speak. And he returned unto him, and lo, he stood by his burnt offering, he and all the princes of Moab, parable, and said, Balak, the king of Moab, had brought me from Aram, out of the mountains of the east, saying, come, curse me, Jacob, and come, defile Israel. How shall I curse whom God had not cursed? Or how shall I defile whom the Lord had not defiled? For from the top of the rocks I set him, and from the hills I behold him. Lo, the people shall dwell alone, and shall not be reckoned among the nations. Who can count the dust of Jacob, and the numbers of the fourth part of Israel? Let me die the death of the righteous, and let my last end be like this. And Balak said unto Balaam, what hast thou done unto me? I took thee to curse my enemies, and behold, thou hast blessed them altogether. And he answered and said, must I not take heed to speak that which the Lord hath put in my mouth? May the Lord add a blessing to his word. And so we see the interaction between Balak and Balaam these several times. At what time the angel of the Lord did not allow the donkey to pass through because Balaam decided to go with for the Balak. Well, God told him initially not to go, but because he wanted to go, God did not interfere with his will. He let him go. But there was going to be a problem on the way to the Lord because Balaam knew that God did not approve of what Balak wanted to do. Balak wanted to curse Israel. Balak wanted to curse Judah, Jacob, and he wanted to destroy them. He didn't want them in their side. He didn't want them in their land. He wanted to defeat them to get them out of the land. But Balaam sought the Lord, and the Lord told him, no, this is not going to happen. You have to listen to what I said. You have to do what I said. And Balaam told Balak, I cannot go beyond the word of the Lord my God to do less or more. I cannot go beyond the word. So that's what happens, brothers and sisters. You know, why couldn't a sorcerer curse Israel? The answer is there, but I cannot give it to you. We need to understand that God will give you a word. God, the Holy Spirit will guide you, and you would have to do what the Holy Spirit says. Presently, right now, my wife, Deborah, Apostle Deborah Ramos, she's at Zambia, and she's teaching the ladies, teaching the children, teaching the people the word of the Lord. And she's only giving them what the Holy Spirit gave her to give. She has not added to or taken away from the words that God has given unto her because she knows she's got to be obedient. In order for her mission to be successful, she has to be obedient to what God says. Just like Balaam, she cannot go beyond the words of the Lord to do less or more. she must do exactly what the Lord require of her to do, because their eternity is at stake. Many people in Zimbabwe know the Lord, and many people don't. And she's got to pronounce that word so the people that don't know the Lord will come to know the Lord, have a personal relationship with him, because the time of his coming is drawing near. We have an imminent expectation of the coming of the Lord Christ. He's going to call his church first, and he's going to come to rescue Israel. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Don't forget that if you get the right answer, you call in Blog Talk Radio, 516-418-5944. You press number 1 to be connected to the studio. And if you get the answer correctly, then you will get a free pamphlet of the tabernacle. It's accordion-style, colorful pamphlet. It's very nice. It talks about the furnishings, the patterns of worship, the Ark of the Covenant, symbolism that point to Jesus, sacrifice of the temple, tabernacle, the garments of the high priest. We understand at this moment in Jerusalem, the people are getting ready to build the third temple. They have the red heifers there to make sure that there's no discoloration with the red heifers, and that the red heifers are found to be worthy to be sacrificed for the temple, because their ashes, after they offer up, they get burned, their ashes that are spread throughout the area for a blessing unto Israel. So we're noticing that temple, you know, they have the menorah, they got the priest garments, they have a lot of things ready. They just have not reached a pact, an agreement with the person who's going to be the Antichrist to build the third temple. That's going to happen after we, the church, is taken up, is harpazo, is raptured out of this earth. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. In the meantime, brothers and sisters, be like Balaam in the beginning there. Listen to the word of the Lord. Follow the instructions of God for your life. No matter what influence, no matter what come your way, Balak told Balaam that he would promote him to a higher honorable position. You know, it doesn't matter. You know, people try to coerce you, bribe you, like our president right now, they're saying that he was bribed with the money from the countries there. We got to wait and see. But we have to be very careful that when we hear the voice of the Lord, that we follow directly what the Lord wants us to do. Because we might not see immediately what God sees in the long run. He sees the big picture. We have a narrow scope of what's going on. But God sees the bigger picture. He knows the end from the beginning. And he will direct us in the way that we should go by his Holy Spirit to accomplish the mission that we have and to accomplish the situations. It could be just one person that, you know, your obedience bring forth to be a child of God. It could be one person. You know, the Lord loves everyone. He wants his long suffering, his patience, is because he loves everyone, and he wants everyone to be saved and everyone to go to heaven. But some people are very hard-hearted. They don't want to deal with the things of the Lord, so they want to do their own thing. But God loves them very much. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So the words that Balaam says, I cannot go beyond the word of the Lord. It's very important. Another part is what God cursed. God did not curse Israel. They were not cursed. They were blessed. And Balaam told Balak, I cannot curse these people. You know, I cannot curse who God hasn't cursed. I cannot defile whom God has not defiled. And that, and if you remember, since they came out of Egypt, it means Moses was still with them. And Moses remembers the promise that God told his great-great-grandfather, Abraham, I will bless them who bless you and curse them who curse you. Genesis 12 and 3. We have to remember the promises of God, yea and amen. He's not going to say one thing to you and cause you to be embarrassed and cause you to do that opposite of what he wants you to do. You know, it doesn't matter whether you're an apostle, a prophet, an evangelist, a pastor, or a teacher. It doesn't matter, you know. You have to be obedient. The God Almighty put the pastor to lead the church, you know. And we understand we got prophets, we got evangelists and teachers and apostles, you know, but they don't run the church. Only the pastor do. And the pastor has to give an account for the souls that are there. And so, you know, the other ones are traveling through. The apostles are establishing churches. Yeah, the prophets are bringing words from God himself. The evangelists are helping out the pastors. They are establishing the church. They are bringing people into the house of God. The teachers are there at the church to expound upon the word of God so people may grow spiritually. And we all working together for what? For the edifying of the body of Christ, for the work of the ministry, you know, that we all become united as one. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. You know, there's a lot of things that we have to remember that God does for us, and God does, and we don't even know that he's doing it, you know. We have to remember that God's word is preeminent above all things, you know. So when we put it all together, what the apostle says, what the prophet says, what the pastor says, what the evangelist says, what the teacher says, you know, it's for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Those are our three main objectives right there. You know, when a person goes beyond that, and in the New Testament, and they want to say, God told me to do this, or God told me to say that, yet is it in alignment with what God wrote here on the scriptures? Is it for the perfection of the saints? Is it for the edifying for the body of Christ? Or is it for the work of the ministry? One of the three categories there, you know? We have to be very careful that everything that we do is according to the word of God. We don't want to be like Balaam, you know, who has a struggle. He had a struggle in himself. He didn't know which way to go. You know, at first, you know, he wanted to please Balak, but then he had to do the things that the Lord says. And then he was again riding the fence. When Balak told him to do something, he went and they made seven altars. They sacrificed seven rams on it, seven bullocks. But God said, no, that's not what I want you to do. You know, God wanted him to stay firm that Israel was not going to be hurt, that Israel was not going to be cursed, that Israel was not going to lose any battle that the Moabites might try to come. You know, and it's something else that years later we read about Ruth, who was a Moabitess, and she came to Israel. She came to Naomi, And she said, your people will be my people. Your God will be my God. Ruth knew better. She knew where the blessings was. And that's exactly what God wanted to Balaam to understand and to pronounce to Balak. Balak didn't have to go to the troubles that he went to if he would only listen. If he would only listen. If he was to do what God says, Israelites would not fight against them. You and I are messengers of the Lord as we go out. We represent the kingdom of God as we are ambassadors of the kingdom of God. And so the words that we speak is not our own. It's the words of the Lord. And when we have to be very careful when people say things against Israel and they laugh, whether we laugh also, we don't want to laugh. We don't want anything. We're not part of that agenda that comes against Israel. We are, the Bible says in Psalms, we are to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. And so Israel is the main olive tree. And we Gentiles was grafted in. And God loves both Israel and us, the Gentiles. And we're going to go forward because we want to do what is God's will. We don't want to do our own will. We've seen how people who disregard the will of God fall and how they lose the blessings that was allotted to them. We read in the New Testament, in the first, second covenant, how the Old Testament was given unto us as an example so we don't do likewise. There was times when Israel lose faith, and God don't want us to lose faith. He want us to continue in our faith in him and continue to do the work that God called us to, continue to be obedient to do the things that God wants us to do. When we do that, we enter into the rest of God. We're no longer fighting and arguing with our neighbors or with anybody else, because everything that we do is in love, and through love, God is love, and God will draw people to himself because of love. God loves Israel. God will once again deal with Israel after the rapture of the church. There's going to be a time where there's going to be the third temple built, and this Antichrist will sit in the throne of God as if he's God. He's going to stop the sacrifice. He's going to want to change times, and many of the Jewish brothers and sisters will run to the mountains, like Jesus said. And when Jesus comes on Mount of Olivet and he puts his feet on Mount of Olivet, that mountain, there'll be a great earthquake. That mountain will separate into two. Christ himself, with the word of his mouth, will defeat the enemies of Israel. And Christ will go and get Israel out of the mountains, out of Petra, and he will bring them to Jerusalem. And he will set up his millennial reign. And all Israel will be saved, and all nations will come and worship in the Feast of Tabernacles. And it's something that we have to understand that we will do at his coming. We will celebrate the Feast of Tabernacles with all the nations, you know. And we want to thank the Lord that God himself loved you so much that he gave his son, that whosoever believed in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I just want to share with you that on Sundays at 6 p.m. like today, we have our Bible mystery. No one has called in regarding this mystery. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. And next week, we're going to deal with a different mystery. And the mystery is, which verse represents the middle of the Bible? We're looking at the King James Version. And we're going to look it up and see, depending on the version you have. I'm looking for in the King James Version, my brothers and sisters. That's the version that I'll be looking at. So we're looking for the middle, the word, the verse that shows the middle of the Bible. Glory. That's an easy one. And then on Tuesdays at 3 a.m., and we encourage you to invite your family, friends, and neighbors. Tuesdays at 3 a.m., we have intercessory prayer. We pray. We have a list of things that we pray for. And if you called in, we would share in our list that we have. And we'll have intercessory prayer for about an hour. And then Thursday, we have what is called Bible study. And the subtopic is called What's Next. And we're going to be talking about this Thursday, the fourth elements or the fourth part of our list. We had a list of 34 to 38 different events that are going to occur, and we are not time setters. We don't put time or dates on anything, but we just want to highlight and enumerate that we believe, according to the Bible, that are going to occur. And God is good. And afterwards, after we enumerate everything, then we're going to begin one by one and see what the scripture says about those subjects. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. So that's going to be part four, because last week we did part three. This Thursday will be part four. And then we're going to go into the scriptures. And part four is going to be from the regathering and judgment of Israel all the way down to the creation of the earth, the new heaven, and new Jerusalem. That's going to be on Thursday. And like always, may the Lord richly bless you. Until then, we just pray that you encourage your family, friends, and neighbors to join us here on Blog Talk Radio. Your host is The Way, the Truth, and the Life Tabernacle. I'm Pastor Carlos A. Ramos. If you want to email the church, it's www.wtltabernacle@gmail.com. If you want to call the church immediately after the program, it's 772-626-3178. God bless. Until then, may the Lord richly bless you. Amen.